بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continuing our studies in العقيدة, the science of العقيدة, the science of creed, العقيدة السلفية, the proper and correct creed and belief of As-Salaf, As-Salih, and beginning with the most important aspect of that creed and belief, and that is the creed and belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Imanu Billah, Al-Imanu Billah, and the knowledge of Allah that we study, meaning the knowledge that we want to have about Allah. And whenever we learn about Allah, this knowledge is called At-Tawheed. And this is the greatest of all knowledge, and the most virtuous and the best of all knowledge that one can study and learn. Rather, it's the foundation of all knowledge and all good, and the reason for the creation of the heavens and the earth, to have At-Tawheed. And I mentioned now briefly, but inshaAllah ta'ala, we will study in detail these issues, that the intent from At-Tawheed is two affairs. The first one is to know Allah. The first intent from At-Tawheed and studying At-Tawheed is to know Allah, to know Him by His beautiful and wonderful and amazing actions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to know Him by His beautiful names and lofty and high and perfect attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know Him and to have knowledge about Him. And likewise, the second intent of learning about Tawheed is to love Him and to worship Him and to surrender to Him with sincere faith and belief and devotion and hope and fear. This is the reason that we are created. We are created for At-Tawheed. Allah, He said in His book, وَمَا خَلَقُتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone, meaning إِلَّا أَن يُوَحِدُونِ, except to make the tawheed of me. And the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal is from two aspects. The first aspect is about knowing about Allah and His lordship and His greatness and His magnificence and His beautiful names and His attributes of perfection, and knowing Him truthfully in this manner, and seeing from His beautiful creation and His wonderful names and attributes that He alone is the one who's worthy of worship, and then submitting to Him with worship and humbleness and humility. This is the reason why we are created, and this is the reality of At-Tawheed. So, from this aspect, we see that Tawheed is two main parts. At-Tawheed is two main parts. What we have to study whenever we want to learn about Allah, we have to study His Tawheed. And that is from two main aspects. The first aspect is called At-Tawheed Al-Ilmi. At-Tawheed Al-Ilmi, the knowledge-based Tawheed. And the second aspect is At-Tawheed Al-Amali. At-Tawheed Al-Amali, the application of At-Tawheed. So whenever we learn about Allah, and we learn about His greatness, and we learn about His beautiful names and attributes, and we learn about His lordship, and we learn about His mercy, we'll try to worship Him and draw near to Him. And whenever we learn about His power and strength And we learn about his promise of paradise and threat of the hellfire. Then we will be afraid of him and we will not disobey him. And we will worship him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the affair that we want to discuss. And we begin first and foremost with at-tawheed al-ilmi. At-tawheed al-ilmi, the knowledge-based tawheed. So therefore, what we study now is the knowledge about Allah. Who is Allah? And we have seen that believing in Allah means to believe in His existence. And we've seen some benefits from that. And that is to believe that Allah, He exists and He is alive always. And He has no beginning, nor does He have any end. And He is alive eternally and forever. And He is always Allah. And He's always powerful and strong. And He is always alive and He never dies. And there is nothing before Him. And He has no beginning. And there's nothing after Him. And He has no end. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't have a father. And nothing gave birth to Him. La, He is always alive. And He doesn't have any children. So He is in need of nothing. He is the creator and the shaper and the former. And the one who brought everything into existence. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a brief summarization of قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Since He is alive, He never dies, and His life has no beginning and no ending, that means there's nothing like Him whatsoever, because everything else in existence, it has a beginning and an ending. And every life, it has a beginning and an ending from the lives of the creation. So that means there's nothing like Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is alone in His beautiful names and attributes, and He is alone in His existence and His life, and in His perfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we begin discussing the affairs related to the knowledge about Allah, to single out Allah alone, in al-rububiyyah, and in al-asma'i wa sifat, to single out Allah alone in His Lordship, and to single out Allah alone in His beautiful names and perfect attributes. What is intended from this lesson is to learn about Allah, is to learn about Him. If we want to learn about Him, we have to learn about His ar-rububiyyah. Ar-rububiyyah. Ar-rububiyyah is one of the attributes of Allah. And this attribute is from the word ar-rab. Ar-rab, He is the rububiyyah. He is the one who has the lordship. Ar-rububiyyah is a very important word that we want to study and that we want to learn about. And from studying ar-rububiyyah, we learn much about Allah Azza wa Jal. And in the tawheed of Allah, this means that we have to single Him out in His rububiyyah. Because tawheed means to make something one, to single out Allah. So from the things that we have to single out Allah in, and believe that He is one and only, and nobody shares with Him whatsoever, and that is His ar-rububiyyah. Is His ar-rububiyyah. What does ar-rububiyyah mean? Ar-rububiyyah in English, it means lordship. Lordship. But what does lordship mean? These are important questions. And we want to all be able to answer them. We want to all be able to answer them. If we don't know them now, alhamdulillah, this is why we come to class. So that we can learn. So we want to learn about ar-rububiyyah, the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this means, in summary, to believe and to single out Allah in three affairs. To single out Allah alone in three affairs, meaning that these affairs are for Allah alone. The rububiyyah is for Allah alone and nobody else. The lordship is for Allah alone and nobody else. Allah, He is Ar-Rabb. Allah, He is the Lord and the creator and the owner and the provider and sustainer of this universe. Alone, nobody else. He has Ar-Rububiyyah. Do you understand that? He has the Lordship. The three affairs that we want to study in order to understand some details about Ar-Rububiyyah are Al-Khalq, Wal-Milk, Wal-Tadbir. Three words. We have to learn them in Arabic and in English. Al-Khalq, Wal-Milk, Wal-Tadbir. We'll say Al-Khalq, Wal-Milk, Wal-Tadbir. Al-Khalq, this means creation. This means creation. This means creation. Do we know what is creation? What is creation? What is creation? All the things that Allah created. Like, for example, what about the sun? The sun is created. Where did it come from and who created it? Allah, He created it. What about the sky? The sky that's really big, right? Where did it come from and who created it? Allah, He created the sky. What about the trees and the fish in the seas and the birds and the bees? Huh? Allah, He created all of them. Allah created all of them. And the bees, they're not like the fish. And the air, it's not like the water. And the trees, it's not like the ground. It's all different. And it's all beneficial. And it's all beautiful. And it's all nice. And Allah, He created all of them. Who created them? Allah. Allah. Allah alone created them. This is the first affair. If we want to think about the Lordship of Allah and about His Rububiyyah, and we have to single Him out alone and make the Tawheed of Allah in this affair, this means that we believe that Allah alone, He is the creator of all things. Anything that is in existence or anything that's from creation, this is from Allah. He created it and nobody else. Nobody else created it. No angels created the heavens and the earth. No angels created the human beings. No angels created the water or the stars or the moon. No prophet created anything. No great man created anything. No jinn created something. No, only Allah, He's the creator. Only Allah, He's the creator. He's the creator of all things. Do we understand that? This is the first thing we have to understand. That Allah, khaliqu kulli shay. That Allah, He's the creator of all things. He's the creator of all things. And He is the creator of all things. And He brought everything into existence. And everything in His creation, He shaped it and formed it. He shaped it and formed it. He gave it its shape and its form. And He brought it into existence. And He is the creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody may say now, but wait a second. Who created that car outside? We have to single out Allah alone. And Allah, He's the only creator. Allah, He's the only creator, right? Right. Okay, but didn't some people create a car? Did Allah create the car? Or did man create the car? Man created the car. Okay, but what's the difference? I thought that Rububiyyah, the Khalq is for Allah alone. How do we understand this? Who can answer? How do we understand this? Is there a difference between... Ahsant. Allah created the tools to make the car. Oh, now we're getting somebody. Ahsant to Abdullah. Barakallah fiqh. Now we're getting somewhere. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the creator, and lahu al-khalq. He has the creation, and He is the one who creates everything, meaning He brings them into existence from nothing. He creates them from nothing, and He brings them into existence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the human being, Allah has given him the ability to create, but he's not really creating anything. He's just changing some parts of Allah's creation into something else. He's just changing some parts of Allah's creation into something else. Like, for example, Allah created metal, and Allah created all these different other things, and the human being, he's going to go turn the metal into doors, and he's going to turn the metal into little parts and make machines out of them, and he's going to work, and he's going to use the creation of Allah and change them into something else that's beneficial. And this is creating, yani, with regards to the human being, but he is not bringing it to existence. Rather, he is just transforming some of the creation of Allah into something else. Like somebody would say, man, that's a nice house. Who created that house? Who built that house? Say, somebody built that house. But did he create it like the way Allah creates? No, Allah, he has the rububiyyah. Allah, he has the khalq. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who brings things into existence. The human being, he didn't bring the house into existence. He just went to some trees and cut some trees down and made some wood, and then got some metal and turned it into nails, and then got some hammers and hammered the thing together and made a house. Did he make the house from nothing? Or did he use the creation that's provided for him and change these things around him into beneficial resources and then made a house from it? So in reality, he's not creating anything in the manner Allah creates. Because al-khalq and creation is from the rububiyyah of Allah, and he is the only one who can do that. So he has the absolute creation. Allah, he creates in an absolute sense, meaning he brings things into existence for the very first time from nothing. From nothing. Do we understand that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lahu al-khalqu wal-amr. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who creates all things. And likewise, all things are under his control and his command. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walillahi mulku as-samawati wal-ard. And all of the dominion, the mulk, is belonging to Allah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created all things, where did you come from? How did you get here? Allah created you. And Allah created me. What about the trees? Wow, that's nice. That's so beneficial. Where did it come from? Allah created it. Allah created the tree. If you look at these affairs around you, you will find amazing things. The big giant trees in the backyard, they're like so tall, they're like 20, 30, 40 feet in the air. Do you know that they used to be like little bitty seeds? A little bitty seed. That tree was like nothing. That tree before is not even in existence. And then you know what it was? In the very beginning, that tree, you know what it was? It was a little bitty seed. Little bitty seed. What happened? What happened if you see a little bitty seed outside? What do you do to it? You flick it around, kick it to the side, you sweep it up in a dustpan. It's like nothing. Is that little seed alive? Are the seeds alive? Are they running around? No, they're dead. They're dead. But that dead seed, it goes into the ground in the dark, dark place. And Allah, he sends rain from the sky. And it goes to the seed. And the seed comes to life. Little bitty seed in the dark, dark ground. It comes to life. And it splits. The seed splits. Fadiq al-Hab. With Noah, Allah, he's the one who split the seed. And it starts to grow a little stem, and it starts to grow and grow and grow, and then it pokes out the top of the ground. And then it's growing and growing, and the sunlight hits it, and the rain comes, and it's growing and growing and growing. And after some time, Allah, he's our Rabb. He has got the rububiyyah, and he is the creator, and he's nourishing and providing the seed and the stem, and it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it's a giant tree in the backyard. Subhanallah. Until it's a giant tree in the backyard. Subhanallah. Huh? Can you do that? Can you make the seed split? Can you make the dead seed come to life? Can you make the dead seed come? That only Allah can do that. Can you make the seed grow into a giant tree? Some trees have apples on them and they're red. Other trees have peaches on them and they're peachy. And other trees have oranges on them and they're orangey. Huh? And other trees have apricots. And some trees have nuts and all different types of things. Acorns and so many beneficial things that we eat them and we benefit from them and they're so tasty and all of the water is one. How come this one is red and that one is green and this one is purple and that one is pink? What, different water? Yusqa bima'in wahid. It's all from the same water, but this one is sweet and this one is bitter and this one is big and this one is short and this one is like this and this one is like that. All of this is from the creation of Allah. Allah, He created these things. Allah, He created these things. And also along with this issue here coming in the same affair is another word that we want to learn. It's called ar-razqa. 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 It means provision. So Allah, He created all things, and since He created them, then He is the one who is providing for them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from His beautiful tadbir and disposing of the affairs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created all things, and also He provides for it. Did anybody help Allah create the sun? Huh? Did anybody help? No, Allah created the sun alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, who provides for the sun? Who keeps the sun in existence, burning and strong? Allah alone. Who created the cows? Allah. Then who provides for the cows? Allah. So Allah, He's the creator and also He's the provider for His creation. Okay, another issue about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the creator. He created all things, and He is the one who's providing and sustaining His creation. Then who does the creation belong to? It belongs to Allah. Why does it belong to Allah? Because He created it. Because He created it. He created it. He sustained it. He's the one who brought it into existence. He is the one who's taking care of it, keeping it in existence and everything. And He is the one who is providing for it. And it belongs to Him. So that means everything in the creation is created by who? Allah. Who was the one providing for all of that creation? The one who created it. Who does the whole creation belong to? It belongs to Allah. It belongs to Allah. Now we have a very important point. We're talking about milk. Now this is ownership. So this creation belongs to Allah. This creation, it belongs to Allah. So therefore, the sun comes up whenever Allah commands it to come up. And the sun goes down whenever Allah commands it to go down. And the moon follows in the manner that Allah commands. And the rain comes from the sky in the manner and the time and the place that Allah commands. Because it belongs to Him. And He is the one who commands. The one who has authority and ownership, He is the one who has command and control over that. And He says, what will happen? The one who has ownership over something, for example, the human being, he has ownership over a phone. For example, whose phone is this? This is my phone. I have ownership over this phone. So the one who has ownership over something, he has authority also over that. Do you understand that? Somebody who owns something, he is the one who has authority over that which he owns. So if somebody sneaks around and takes my phone without my permission, is that nice? No, that's not nice. That's called oppression and that's doing the wrong thing. That's a bad thing. Why? How come nobody can just take my phone without my permission? Because it's mine, because it belongs to me. I have ownership over the phone and therefore that means I have authority over the phone and nobody should mess with my phone except with my permission. Like if I said, for example, now, okay, you want to use my phone? Okay, you can use my phone for 2 hours. You can use my phone for 2 hours. But you can't. You can only look at this Mushaf. The Mushaf app. You can. So now if somebody used the phone for 3 hours, is that nice? No, that's wrong. That's not nice because they don't have the permission to do that. What if they look at some other stuff instead of the Mushaf app? They look at some other things on the phone instead of that. Is that nice? Why not? Because they disobeyed the authority. The person who owns something, he has authority. So Allah, He has given us authority over certain things in this life. But Allah, Azza wa Jal, He has ultimate authority. And He has ultimate ownership. And everything belongs to Him. Why? Because he created it and he is providing for it and sustaining it. So therefore, it all belongs to him. So then, since he has the ownership, likewise, he has the authority. So he says what is good and what is allowed, and he says what is haram and what is impermissible. This is from his lordship. He is the one who says this is halal and this is permissible. And this is, he's the one who said you must do this and you must do that. And he's the one who says you cannot do this and this is impermissible. Because he has the rububiyyah, he has the lordship, he has the ownership, he has authority, he has the command. Allah lahu al-khaliq wa al-amr, because he's the creator. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the provider and the sustainer. All of this creation belongs to him. Lahu al-mulku as-samawati wal ard. Do we understand that? So therefore, the sun comes up when Allah says, and the sun goes down when Allah says, and the fruits and the plants and the vegetables and the crops, they come and they live and they die according to the command of Allah, because they belong to Him and they're under His authority. And these aspects of the creation, they have no choice. They have no choice except to obey the command of Allah. As for the human being and the jinn, then Allah has given them choice. Allah has tested them with free will, giving them the ability to think and to make decisions. Allah has tried them with that. Allah has tried them with that, and He has given them commandments and prohibitions that they must follow and abide by. That they must follow and abide by. And He has promised them, Ar-Rabb, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the creator and sustainer and the provider, the one who owns everything, that if you follow His commandments and you comply to them and you stay away from His prohibitions, He has prepared a great, great, great place that whoever goes there, they never have to leave. And whoever goes there, he'll be 33 years old forever. And he will never get old, and he will never get tired, and he will never get sick, and he will never get hungry, and he will never get smelly. And he will have everything that he would ever delight. And he will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will have a Jannah. He will have a Jannah. He will have a Jannah. This is for the ones who obeys the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal, and who stays away from the prohibitions of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is what is an obligation upon us, because He is the creator and He is a sustainer and He is the provider, and everything belongs to Him, and He has authority. And He has authority. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Allah, He has the command. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who knows better about what is good for you and what you should do and what is bad for you and what you should not do? Who knows best? Huh? Allah. Allah, He knows best. Why does He know best? Because He's the creator. He's the one who created you in the first place. So of course He knows what's best for you. That's why He has commanded you and ordered you to do certain things. Because He knows what's best for you. And that's also why He has prohibited you and told you not to do certain things, because He knows what is best for you. Ala ya'lamu man khalaq. Does not the one who created know best? Of course, Allah, He knows best. He knows best what is good for human beings, because He created human beings. And He also knows best, subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is not good for human beings, because He created them. So if you want to have good for yourself, just think about it. Who knows better the way that I should go? Me or my creator? My creator. So therefore, we have to follow Him and His commands. And He's so nice and kind. This is why He sent prophets and messengers in revelation to teach us the way of Allah Azza wa Jal and the good things that He has allowed and that which He has prohibited. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is with regards to Al-Khalq wal-Milk. Al-Khalq wal-Milk. The creation and also the authority. The question comes again also, okay, well, you just said that Allah, He has the authority over all things, and we must single out Allah alone in the mulk, or in the milk, in His authority, in His ownership, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have to single Him out. Allah, He is the only owner. He is the only owner, and authority belongs to Him. How come you own a phone? What is that? How do you own a phone then? What do we say? Do I own a phone? Do you own a pencil? What about a piece of paper and a notebook? Who's that for? Whose notebook is that? Can I just take it and write all over it if I want to? No. That's not nice, right? Why? Because it's yours. It's yours. It's not mine. It's not mine. So that's not nice for me to do that, because it's yours. Barakallah fik. Okay, but how? I thought Allah, He is the owner. Who can explain this? Allah, He has ultimate authority. And He is the owner of all things in reality. And as for the human being, then Allah, He has given them authority over certain things. But the authority and the ownership of Allah is unlimited. It's absolute and supreme over all things with no limits. As for the human being, then he has been given some authority over some things. For example, you have authority over that book, but not that book. Allah, He has authority over all things. The creation of, in the command over all things. So you only have authority over the things that Allah gave you, not over everything else. That's number one. Also, you are restricted to your authority and ownership from two ways. You are restricted in the things that Allah has given you authority over in two ways. The first way is in a universal restriction. Meaning that, for example, Allah gave you this book. You can't hop on that book and write to the masjid. Can you? No, you just can't do whatever you want with the book, right? Because there's limits. You can write in it, you can take notes in it, and maybe you can turn it into some paper airplane and throw it through air. But you can't like write on it, or you can't just do whatever you can't do whatever you want to with it and change it into anything. Because you're limited. Because Allah, He has set limits in His creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for Him, He does whatever He wants. And He creates whatever He wants. And He does whatever He wants with His creation because He has ultimate authority and command. That's one aspect. Another aspect, you're also limited from the legislation. Can you just take the paper and then do haram stuff with it? Like draw pictures of people on it? No. Huh? No. No, you can't. Because drawing pictures of people is haram, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade that. So you have the piece of paper, or you have the notebook, but you can't do whatever you want with it. You can only do whatever is allowed for you to do with it. You can't just take the notebook and just start tearing paper, just start tearing. Here, look at this. Watch this. Just tear. This is my book. I can do what I want with. And you just start tearing the papers up and just wasting it. La, because Allah, He does not love the wasters. Innahu la yuhibbul musrifin. Allah, He doesn't love the waster. So you just can't waste the book. You just can't do whatever you want with it. You can't use the book to calculate haram earnings and bad money and plan bad plans and write bad notes and haram notes and likes this and backbiting people in letters and talking bad about people in letters. You can't do that with a notebook, can you? Why not? Because the true king and the true master and the true owner, He said, you can't do that. And if you do that, you're going to be held accountable. So therefore, you have some ownership and Allah has given us some authority, but our authority is restricted to that which He has allowed for us. As for Allah Azza wa Jal, He has complete command. He has command over everything. Allah Azza wa Jal, He owns the people. And they belong to Him. He created them and provide for them. And if He wants one to be sick, He'll make him sick. And if He wants him to be healthy, he'll make him healthy. As for us, if we get sick, for example, if somebody has a child, that's his child. Whose child is that? That's his child. That's his child. Nobody else's child. Okay, well, can he make his child healthy if it gets sick? Well, I thought it was your child. Why don't you make him healthy? Because you have authority, but it's limited. It's not true authority. It's not true authority. It's not true ownership. Allah, He has true and complete, absolute, supreme authority and ownership. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Also, the third affair that we have to know is that tadbir. And this is that Allah, He is disposing of the affairs in the best way. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.